December 25th, 2012, in Chennai, parenting according to Bhagavad Gita.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for coming. You all understand English, I hope. If I say something that you don't understand, would you please ask me? That we have a deal? Yes? Yes? And if I talk too fast, you just tell me that I need to slow down. Is that okay? Otherwise, I won't speak. So it's my contract. Something you don't understand, please say.
By spiritual master.
Thank you. I was going to include the Sanskrit, but it would have made this too big. So Krishna says, this is the Bhagavad Gita 3:33, that even a person of knowledge acts according to their own nature. For everyone follows the nature acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? Now it's quite interesting that Krishna makes this point in the third chapter, and then he makes it again in the 18th chapter. The 18th chapter is where Krishna summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita. Now good teachers summarize at the end, and Krishna being the best teacher does so. Also good teachers remember that people are most likely to focus on what is said at the end. So Krishna again at the end of his discussion brings up this point, and here we're looking at 18:45-47. By following one's qualities of work, every person can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a person can attain perfection through performing one's own work. It is better to engage one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. I've also included from here something that my Guru Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter. It's one of my favorites, where he said, Krishna has given everyone something extraordinary, and to serve Krishna with one's extraordinary talent means successful life. So our point here is several. First of all, that everyone has their own nature. Nature. code. And by figuring that out, they could figure out where the person was sending from, who was sending, and they could chart at least the movements of the enemy like that, even without deciphering the messages. Of course, we know on the bodily level, each one of us is different. We have a different DNA, different thumbprint, different voice impact, right? And there's now so much technology to identify us by these slight and subtle differences on the physical level. But these differences also exist on the psychological level. So let's look on the area of talents. Now again, each of us has an individual talent, but we can think in broad categories. And one educator named Gardner came up with several broad categories of talents. He said that some people are talented verbally. They're good with language. They're good with words. This is on your sheet, by the way. Maybe there's a new music class, and maybe there's an art class, but this is the main focus. Now, that was not always the case. When Krishna and Balaram went to school thousands of years ago in Ujjain, they had a curriculum that actually took care of all of the talents. It wasn't just verbal and mathematical. Now, when we're dealing with our children, there is a strong tendency, especially because our schools focus almost exclusively on the verbal and mathematical, to feel that unless our child is really talented, verbally or mathematically or both, that their life is a failure. Of course, we know that that is nonsense. There are so many people in the world who have very materially successful lives, who have talents in other areas. So I was just in Manipur, and I was speaking to one of our members, who's very successful in sports. That's his occupation. I forget what sport it was. I'm sorry, I don't remember. But that's what he does for a living. He's an athlete. And he said to me, I have a good problem with my twin boys, that all they like to do is play and do sports. And they're not very good in their classwork. What will I do? And I said, well, maybe they are your sons, that's all. So to be a good parent, of course, our children should be able to read and write and do mathematics. But we want to find out what is their talent. And Prabhupada is saying, everyone has something extraordinary. Everyone has something extraordinary. Now, many times, a person's talent is not obvious. And there can be two reasons for this. One is if you're so focused on school and verbal mathematical, like this one father, that he couldn't even see that his children had the same talent that he did. Well, this is when we'll say three things. So that's one. Your focus is so narrow that you're not even looking for it. Another is if the child's talent is very different from mine. So one of my students was very poor in logic, and I used to put a lot of emphasis on teaching logic in my school. But she was very good at interpersonal skills and musical skills. She was able to write her own music. She created dramas. She was very good in verbal skills also. And she's a counselor and a mediator. But she just doesn't understand logic at all. If you try to explain something to her logically, it's like you're speaking in Chinese. She just doesn't understand you. But in these other ways, she's extremely talented. So one reason we may miss our children's talents is we have a very narrow focus. Another way is the talent may be very different than my talent. And I may just be seeing the world. In Sanskrit, we call this Atmavan Mandite Jagat. Atmavan Mandite Jagat. I think everyone is like me, or everyone should be like me. Now, of course, that's a little silly. Who here is perfect? Anybody perfect? Nobody perfect? Oh, so sad. I was hoping to find at least one or two. So, if I'm not perfect, why should everybody be like me? This is silly. I'm not completely satisfied with myself. Do we ever look in the mirror in the morning and go, yes, perfect? No. So there's variety. I may think that my talents are the most important and the most wonderful because they're mine. But the world would not be a very nice place if everybody had the same talents. But I may miss my children's talents just because they are different. I may not see them at all. So I can think of one family I visit where they have two sons that are very, very different. And the older son, he can focus. Whatever he's doing, he's just completely focused. He doesn't know anything that's happening, nothing. When he's doing something, the rest of the world just disappears. Now, this schoolwork. It's very bad if he went to help someone else in the family. He doesn't even know they need it. He doesn't see them. He doesn't hear them. He doesn't know they're there. I was saying, you could have a 500-pound gorilla walk in the room and he wouldn't see it. It's just focus. And his little brother is exactly the opposite. His little brother notices everything all the time. He knows what everybody's doing, what everybody's saying, where everybody's going. He knows everybody's business, but he doesn't know his business. Now, what's really interesting is that each of these talents has their use. Each of these talents has their use. You would never put the older child in charge of something with other people.
Teacher and work with children.
forget. Not possible. I'm not interested. I didn't think I had any inclination or interest at all. And what happened when I was about 24 is I met a very extraordinary woman. Her name was Mr. Chimayi. And she did two things. By her association, she gave me a different view of teaching. She changed my perspective. And the other thing was that she taught me skills. So she taught me how to teach. And without that connection, I wouldn't have discovered that I had talent. It would have remained hidden. So many times our children's talents, we don't see them because they're like a little seed under the ground that hasn't been watered yet. You know, some seeds can stay under the ground for a very, very long time. So, of course, it is because of this reason that in most societies, children are or should be exposed to a number of different things when they're very young. Given opportunities for different talents to come out. So how can we use this basic principle of Bhagavad Gita as a parent? We should know that our children do have a particular talent. Everyone has one. And it is our job as a parent, if we want to be happy as a parent, if we want our children to be happy, to help our child find and nourish that talent. Accept that whatever talent they have, and others they may not have so much. And that's okay. To look for something that may be out of the ordinary to me. Maybe my child has a talent that's very different from what I'm looking for, or very different to me. And it could be that the thing about your child that annoys you the most is actually a hidden talent. In fact, that's quite common. There may be something about your child that they do over and over and over. And you think, oh, if only they would stop. And instead, if you think, wait a minute, if this is something they keep doing, maybe it's something in their nature, and I'm just seeing it wrongly. Talents, in order to blossom, need to be in the right circumstances. And they need to be trained. If your child is always drawing pictures on the wall, that's a problem. Instead, you can say, oh, let's see, maybe this child has some artistic talent. Maybe it can be trained. To think like that. And you can even look at, what is it about my child that they keep doing repeatedly that I may even find annoying? How could that thing be a hidden talent if used in the right place and with training? This boy who's always noticing what everybody else is doing, and his parents are, they tell him constantly, mind your own business, mind your own business, mind your own business, mind your own business. They don't see it as a hidden talent. That in the right circumstances and with training could be a great gift. I had a similar situation when I was an administrator in a government school in America. And one teacher had a child that she considered a big problem. So we had a meeting between that teacher and the parents and myself and the child. And the teacher said, this is a very bad child. Oh, what does he do that's bad? Well, whenever a guest comes to the door, he jumps out of his seat and he runs to the door. And he opens the door for the guest and he invites the guest into the classroom and makes a disturbance. And when I'm teaching something in the class, if somebody doesn't understand, understand or they're not paying attention, he jumps out of his seat and he runs over to that child and he helps them. And this boy is driving me crazy. I always say to him, I am the teacher, not you. And anytime a child has a broken pencil, he goes and gets a sharpened one and gives it to them. He's always jumping out of his seat in the class. So you told me, is this child a problem? Who is the problem? It's the teacher's problem. And I said to this teacher, why don't you make this child the official class helper? He's doing it anyway. Make him your assistant teacher. But she would not agree. I said, you can give him a little sign, guest receiver. You know, actually give him the job. But she didn't. She would not see it. So we can do this with our own children. The very things that are wonderful about them, we may think, oh, this is a disturbance, this is a disturbance, this is a disturbance. And just, if that boy had gotten some acknowledgement and then some training, the teacher could have trained him. This is how you receive guests. This is how you help the other children. Here's your own supply of pencils. Something that she could have engaged like that. So this is what we can do as parents. And we're going to go on a little bit, we don't have a whole lot of time to do this, a little bit beyond just the idea of talents to personality. That is very related.
Person.
what I, that's all right. Hey, you know what I'll do? I'll give me my glasses case, and that'll do it. There you go. I needed something. No. Here. Thanks. There we go. Thank you very much. So we could look at people-oriented and task-oriented. Personality. The main thing that I want to emphasize is that no one kind kind of personality and no one kind of talent is either good or bad. It's good in some places for some things if properly trained. And the same thing that's very useful in some areas is terrible in other areas. The same thing that's useful in some areas is terrible in other areas. And when you're looking at your child, especially if your child is different from you, and this happens, my dear friends, all the time. It happens all the time that parents get children who have different talents and different personalities than they have. It happens between husband and wife. No, never. What do you think? Yes. It may be between you and your parents. And our tendency is that we see our own strengths as strengths. And if someone has a different strength, we don't even see it as a strength. We just see it as weakness. I'll give you one more. Sometimes we try to take our child and make them into something they are not. And Krishna says that is impossible. So you will be wasting your energy, and you'll be frustrating yourself and frustrating your child and causing difficult relationships between you, and you will accomplish nothing. Now, a person can pretend to be another kind of person for a while, like you can dye your hair, but the real nature will keep manifesting. So you can try to force your child to be something that they're not, but it will damage the child, it will damage you, it will damage the relationship, and it's something that Krishna really does not recommend. Now, this is really just an introduction. We can talk about various talents and various personalities. We can have a full day, 8 to 10 hour seminar just on this very topic. I would suggest that if you find this interesting, that you do some more research yourself into the various aspects of personality, style, and talents. And really meditate and see, what is my child good at? Even if what they're good at is annoying to you, what is my child good at? What does my child take pleasure in? I gave you the example of myself, that I didn't discover that I had a talent and proclivity for teaching until I was 24. But you know, it could have been discovered very young. When I was in preschool, in nursery school, at age about 3, my mother told me later, she said, when you were in nursery school, the teacher would complain to me, your daughter is always trying to be the teacher. Now, if only my parents had seen that as a talent. They didn't. They would just say to me, now stop bothering the teacher, let the teacher teach. They saw it as annoying. It's been my whole life's career. Just imagine. If instead of seeing my behavior as being bad, if they had seen, oh, here's some talent, and it wasn't until 20 years later, when I was 24, that by the grace of God, I ended up with somebody who brought it out in me. So what is my child really like to do? What are they really good at? And how could this be some hidden talent? How could this be some aspect of personality that has some place in the world? And of course, the ultimate glory, as Prabhupada says here, he said, to serve Krishna with one's extraordinary talent means successful life. So on a material level, finding and nourishing our child's talent and personality will help them become materially fulfilled persons and would help them contribute to the betterment of the world. And beyond that is to use their particular talent and personality for the glory of God. Then the person becomes not only materially successful and happy, but also spiritually so. I'd like us all, we're going to take a break in a minute, but before we do, I'd like us all to think about a time when we really felt we were in our place, where we were doing something where we felt very fulfilled. If we can just stop for a minute and think about some time like that, we can remember some time when we felt, I really feel fulfilled. I feel like I'm achieving my destiny. Let's go back to that time and try to access how you felt. Not just think about it, but feel that way again. How did you feel when you were doing something that you felt, this is me? This fits with who I am. Here I'm able to be myself. And myself has value to others. Myself has value to the whole. What was that feeling like? It was full of energy, wasn't it? Right? You didn't even want to stop to have a break to eat something. Wasn't it like that? And when it was time to go to bed, you didn't want to go to sleep. You know, your body was finally couldn't stay up anymore. When you're situated properly, It's like you're plugged into the current. And although we may be working hard, and our body may get tired, but we feel energized. And someone who's properly situated can contribute so much more to their own life, to society, and toward the mission of Krishna. And isn't that what we want for our children? Wouldn't we want that for ourselves and for our children, that the majority of our life we can be in a situation where we fit, where I feel this is my place? Actually, it's really interesting. I was doing the layout for your handouts yesterday, and as I was using a very simple layout program and just putting in the picture and organizing it. And as I was doing it, I thought, I love doing this. I actually love doing this. So that's the kind of thing that you want to look for with your children. What is it that gives them life? What is it that energizes them?